Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Let's turn to our scriptures for today. We're reading from Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 10 from the New King James Version. Let's go. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Now, in every field of study, learning or skill, and even in life itself, there are certain basics that are given for you and I to know. For you to excel and for you to be successful, or for you to progress further in that field, you must have knowledge of these basic things. For example, you should know your times tables. 9 times 9, 81. Let's make it a bit more difficult. 17 times 17. (laughs) 289. This is basics, isn't it? Addition, subtraction, multiplication, division are basics. If you're going to progress in your maths, you need to know this, isn't it? How about in geography? You should know your directions. So which side is east? No, in real life, where we are today, where is east? It's this way, isn't it? Where the sun rises. How many of you have ever been in your, used Google Maps and it tells you head east? And you're wondering, just tell me, should I go left or right? Well, east ni wapi sasa. How about in reading and spelling? What is the first word there? The first one. T-U-B. Is that long vowel sound or short vowel sound? Short vowel sound of the letter U. Then if you add an E at the end, it becomes tube. It becomes the long vowel sound. I learned this from my wife. As when we were taught spelling, we were not taught this. We just crammed everything. What about the one that starts with a C? Can, and it becomes? And the next one? And it becomes? So there's short vowel sound and long vowel sound. If you don't know these basics, you will struggle in your reading, in your spelling, and through life. let's do something a bit different. Engineering. Newton's laws. The first law of inertia. An object at rest will remain at rest, and an object in motion will remain in motion at a constant speed unless external force. You're learning something. You're learning some deep stuff. Second law of what's Newton's second law? The acceleration of an object depends on its mass. Is anything making sense to anybody? Okay, and the third law, this is the one everybody knows. For every action, equal and opposite reaction. Now, how about, let me just give a plug here for homegrown. For parents, what are some basic things you need to know? That is why you need to be here next Saturday for homegrown so you can learn the basics. How about as a Christian? Are there some basic things for us to know, to understand, to comprehend? Things I need to make part and parcel of who I am, an integral part of my belief system, integrating them into my life, principles by which to live by. Now, in reading through the scriptures, in my own personal reading, I noticed that the writers of different books would use phrases like, "for you know," or "for we know," or ask the question, "don't you know?" And I began reading and thinking, the writer of these books, when he's writing, he's assuming that you know what he's talking about and building upon that point. He's not going to go back to the fundamental basics of explaining that thing again because it is assumed that you know it. So what are some of these things? And especially in the writings of Paul in Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he's always saying, "for you know," or "don't you know?" And it appears that the writers of these books were assuming that the reader already knew these things and was building upon that knowledge, just as we talked about in the fields above. So this made me want to inquire, and I really went, as I was reading through the Bible, every time I would come and see that, I would note that down. And just as I was just going and noting them down, and it's amazing what the things the Bible assumes we know. Just like the compass direction assumes you know east, west, north, south. Just like the English teacher knows, assumes you know short vowel sounds and long vowel sounds. Just like the periodic table, it is assumed you know it. Or the maths table, it's assumed you know it. So in the opening scriptures, we read that we are to be filled with the knowledge of God's will for our lives. And we are also to increase in our knowledge of God. So to be fruitful and successful in our Christian walks, each of us, there are some basic truths that we need to know and understand. And today I want us to look at some of them as I minister a word called fixing our knowledge of God. Fixing our knowledge of God. And as we look at this, we're going to look at fixing our knowledge of God in two ways. One is fixing and standing firm in what we already know. As Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14 encourages us, that we are to stand firm with a belt of truth buckled around our waist. That the truth that we already know, we are to stand firm in it, fixed in it. The truth needs to be fixed in us, and we fixed in the truth. The second way we're going to look at it is fixing in terms of repairing erroneous notions or understandings of God and His ways. Things that we may have assumed that are not correct. And we see this in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29. Jesus, speaking to the Sadducees, corrected them because they were asking him a question about the resurrection and about a woman and who had been married to seven different brothers, one at a time. And they were asking, whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? But Jesus responded to them and said, "You are completely wrong." Matthew 22:29. Why are they wrong? Because you don't know the scriptures. You don't know what the scriptures teach, and you don't know anything about the power of God. So it could be possible that what we think we know is erroneous, and it is causing us to walk in error. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." So it is important that the knowledge we have of God is accurate, that whatever we believe is correct and it is true and we are standing firm in it. Not only is ignorance no excuse, it is also dangerous. We must know what the word says. We must have knowledge and continue to grow in that knowledge of our God if we want to live successful and fruitful Christian lives. So the first area we're going to look at is found in Romans chapter 6, verse 5 to 7 and verse 11. And it says, "For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And there it is. For what? For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. Since a person who has died is freed from sin." Verse 11, "So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." The first thing we are to know is that we are set free. We need to know that. Not just know it by hearing it, but knowing it by believing it and accepting it to be true. For those of us who are born again, we need to know that our old sinful nature was crucified on the cross with Christ, and that the power of sin over our lives has been broken. Sin no longer has a hold on us. We are no longer slaves to sin. I said we are no longer slaves to sin. That habit that is seeking to take a hold of you and is refusing to let go, what this scripture is telling us, that you are no longer subject to that thing. You have been set free. And the Bible is saying, you know that. It is something you should know and believing in. We are free to serve the Lord in holiness and in purity. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin and unrighteousness. May the Lord help us to understand what this means, so we stop falling into the traps of the devil. For he likes to whisper in our ears that you have not been changed, that this and this is your struggle. And you reason, we all have struggles. Or you take hold of it and you say, this is my weakness. That is not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that we are free, that the power of sin has been broken from our lives. And we need to walk in the knowledge that our old self has been crucified. We are new creations in Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. We know that we are set free. Do you know that you are set free? Do you believe it? Amen. Let us live in it. The second way and the second area we are going to look at today is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. And it says, "Don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You have been bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." The second thing we are to know is that these bodies are not ours. The body that you're in is not yours. Remember, we're looking at foundational truths by which we are to live. Truths that we should know and live by. Don't you know? The instruction Paul gives at the end of verse 20 for us is to honor God with our bodies. Now, this instruction is built upon what he has said in the previous verse. If we do not understand what the previous verse says, we will struggle with honoring God in our bodies. Verse 19 says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It also says that we are not our own, we have been bought with a price. Now, if you don't understand those two points that I've just said and believe them to be true, we will struggle to honor God with our bodies. The Holy Spirit dwells in you and I. Wherever we go, the Holy Spirit goes with us. He lives inside us. We are his temple, his dwelling place. With this knowledge, don't you think we should think twice about where we go? Where are we taking the Holy Spirit? With this knowledge, don't you think we should give more thought in how we clothe His temple? With this knowledge, don't you think we should be more careful about how we take care of this temple and the things that we do with our bodies, the words we speak, how we're using our different members, how we use our tongue, how we use our hands, our eyes, our feet? We are not our own. The mouth you're speaking with is not yours. The eyes you're looking with are not yours. So what are you looking at? The feet and the legs you have are not yours. Where are you going? We know and understand that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. So we're not to give ourselves a license to do whatever we want or whatever feels good. The next area we're going to look at is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We all know this one. We like quoting it, and it says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." So the third thing we are to know, we know that in all things God is working for our good. This one we know, we love it, we like to quote it. But let's look a little deeper, because before verse 28 comes verse 26 and 27. And let's read from verse 26 so we can have context. It says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's will." And then verse 28, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose." Okay, let's break this down. Remember in point number two, second thing we had to know, we said that our bodies are not our own, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Now, the Holy Spirit is not just dwelling and doing nothing. He is interceding for us. So if you're busy quoting this, all things are going to work together for good, but you're not honoring God with your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then you're missing the whole point. You're in error. Because when the Holy Spirit knows our weakness, verse 26, when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. So when we pray in the Spirit, when we are praying in tongues, it is the Holy Spirit praying for us. And what's so powerful about this is that the Holy Spirit is pleading in prayer for us in harmony with the will of God. So it is because of the prayer that the Holy Spirit is praying in us and through us according to the perfect will of God that brings about verse 28, that God will cause all things to work together for our good. Because if the Holy Spirit is praying for you in accordance to the will of God, then why wouldn't things work together for your good? That's why it's important that we are building. We are moving away from sin. We are living holy lives. We are understanding that our temple, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 28 will make sense for us and become true, because the Holy Spirit is in us praying for us in accordance to the will of God. And verse 28 puts a rider at the end. For it says, "This promise is for those who love God and are called according to His purpose." Now, once we understand this, then James chapter 1 and verse 2 and 4 begins to make sense. And what does it say? It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Why? "Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." And then verse 4 says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So if you're going through a trial and the Holy Spirit is praying through you, don't you think it will turn out well? So you can count it joy when you're going through different trials, because you know that the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you into triumph. And that's why it says that you will become mature, complete, not lacking anything. So as believers, our lives are in God's hands. When we allow Him to have His way in our lives, we will see His work in us and through us, and Him working in our affairs. But we must know these foundational truths. When we consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God, not giving excuses for the wrong things we do, but repenting and turning away from them, seeking to live lives free from sin that once held us bound. When we live our lives with the understanding that we have been bought with a price, that we are not our own, and that our bodies do not belong to us, but they are the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. When we understand that the Holy Spirit in us is seeking to intercede for us and through us, then we shall see God at work in our lives like never before, working things out for our good. When we grow in our knowledge and understanding of our God, then the words of Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32 will ring true for us. For it says, "But my people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." When we know our God and our knowledge of Him is accurate, and we are walking in those truths, the Bible says we shall be strong and we shall do exploits. When our knowledge of God is fixed, we will be able to say like Jacob, who in the middle of his trial said, I know my Redeemer lives. What do you and I know? What do you and I know about the God we serve? Job was able to say, I know my Redeemer lives. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 said, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." Do you know whom you have believed? What are you persuaded about? Paul said, "I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day." What are you and I persuaded about in the knowledge of our God? Or are we easily tossed back and forth with every wind of doctrine? Something happens to you, and instead of understanding that all things work together for good, you want to give up and turn back. We need to come to that place of an understanding and knowledge that is based on the truth of what the Word of God says. For I know, for we know, don't you know? Those are the questions we need to answer so that we can be fixed in our knowledge of our God. Amen? Amen. So the next time you're reading through your Bible and you come to those phrases, "for I know," or "don't you know," take time and think about what the writer of that passage is saying. What is it that you need to know? What is it that you need to be grounded upon? And the Lord will help us to be strong. Let us all lift our hands in the presence of the Lord and go to the Lord in prayer, responding to His word. Maybe you're the one who is struggling with sin and the enemy has convinced you that you can never be free. Just begin to confess that you are free. Begin to confess that you are no longer a slave to sin. Make it your conviction I know that I have been set free. I know that sin no longer has a hold on me. Let it be your confession. Begin to pray and to ask God to help you break free from every habit that has held you bound. Or if you're here and you've not been considering that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, just begin to commit yourself afresh to walking in the ways of God, to surrendering your body. Like it says in Romans chapter 12, giving up your bodies as a living sacrifice. Let the Lord hear your voice. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for us today. Lord, I pray that we will be filled with the knowledge of your will. Lord, I pray that we will be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That, Lord, we will walk worthy of you. That we will be fully pleasing to you. That we will be fruitful in every good work. That, Lord, we are knowing you and that we are increasing in our knowledge of you. Lord, where we may be having the wrong idea of who you are, Lord, help us, correct us, train us in righteousness. Help us to know and to understand what your will is and what your word says, that we may walk in it. Lord, I'm praying in the name of Jesus that you're helping us, oh God, that we're not going to lack in any good work, my Father, because the enemy has beguiled us and has turned us away. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that we are being grounded, my Father, that we have the true compass, my Father, in our hearts and in our lives, pointing us to the true north in your word, that we are not losing our way, even in this journey of faith. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, oh God. Increase our knowledge of you, my Father. Let us not, my God, remain in that place, oh God, where the writer of Hebrews said, you ought to be teachers by now, but you are like babes, even because of you do not know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to help us. Help us, oh God, to walk in a way that is worthy, oh Lord, to surrender our bodies to you, Lord, in every way, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we honor you, we glorify you, and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, if you're here and you're not born again, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, this is your opportunity. Our pastors are here and they'll wait for you. As the rest of the church is dismissed, please do not leave, but come and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Let your sins be removed from your life as far as the east is from the west. Come and receive forgiveness. Come and receive eternal life. Come and receive that gift that God has for you. Come. In Jesus' name. So as the rest of the church is dismissed, you don't leave, but come. Our pastors are here waiting. Let's all lift our hands as we close. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Lord, let your word, my Father, be hidden in our hearts, not to be stolen away. But Lord, help us to live by what we have learned today and to honor you in all things. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful week. May God bless you. May you grow in the knowledge of God as you continue to know Him and search the Scriptures in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.